Praise God. Hope everyone's doing wonderful out there. You know, isn't a nice spring day today? Just amazing Oklahoma weather. You know, we can go from freezing or below freezing last week, snow on the ground. Well, actually, I guess we didn't have service last Wednesday night. Think about that. Till I'm wearing short sleeves, feeling good about it. And it's going to be even warmer on Friday. All right. But don't get too used to it. You know, you never know. I mean, this is Oklahoma where the wind comes sweeping down the plains. All right. So you never know what the weather is. Like I say we have bipolar weather here in Oklahoma, you know, and if you don't like it, if you'll just wait a few minutes, it will change. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to do a deep dive on James chapter 2 through 8. And, you know, a lot of people don't speak, you know, don't use James to minister on faith. But I like to use James because it says some things that you don't read in some other stuff. But I'm going to start out. We're going to read from a number of translations. I'm going to read the whole thing here from the New King James, and then we'll read from other translations as well. It says this: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So notice it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Notice it doesn't say if you fall. It says when you fall. See, James was trying to let us Christians know that there are going to be some trying times. Now, the reason there's trying times is the devil's real. I say it all the time. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's going to bring trying times, in your way. And you need to realize that. I think that's so many people, so many Christians, I mean, they freak out whenever the devil attacks them, and they're like, man, I thought, you know, I became a Christian, this wouldn't happen anymore. No, in fact, sometimes it seems it happens more because the devil will leave you alone as long as you're following after him. But whenever you're living for God, I mean, the devil's going to try to stop that, you know? And so it says when troubles come, that we should count it all joy. You know, it doesn't say it's going to be joyful and happy and triumphant whenever there's trials. It says to count it all joy. I wouldn't even count it all joy. I mean, just be happy anyway. Now, how can you count it all joy when you're in the middle of a trial? I mean, that doesn't seem naturally normal. Well, the reason you can count it all joy is because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know whose you are. You know that, you know what? God has this under control. It's going to be okay. See, you have to know it's going to be okay when you're in the middle of the trial. Because if you know it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Now, looking at the New Living Translation, it starts out and says this: "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, I like it. You know, actually, my grandfather, before the New Living Translation was ever out, he would always talk about it's an opportunity for great joy. It doesn't say you're going to have it. It says there's going to be an opportunity arise, and you can decide whether you're going to have joy or whether you're not going to have joy. See, it's up to you. When troubles and trials come your way, sometimes we choose not to have joy, even though we know what the God's Word says. Now, you know, I grew up with my grandfather. I've heard him say it over and over and over and over again. God says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. And so it's really hard for me whenever you're doing something, you know, that's not according to his word. According to God's word, we need to be happy even when things aren't going great. All right. So I want to ask a question, and you know, this is a question. Why are so many people so mad today on, you know, Facebook just because the economy is not going good and this is not going good? They should be happy. You know, now obviously you're like, well, you're not happy because everything's not going good. You're happy in spite of. In spite of the situation. You know what? God's got me. God's got me. It's all going to be okay. Remember, I'm having an exceedingly abundant year, more than I can ever ask or think or even imagine. Super abundance. So I'm not worried about what's going on. No, you know, but there's going to be things that are going to go on because the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me the devil's real. The Bible tells me that he's going to be bring various trials. All right? He is going to bring various trials. The Passion Translation says this, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. The greatest joy that you can. You know what? I mean, somebody who really knows who they are in Christ Jesus can experience great joy in the middle of the worst circumstances ever imaginable. Now, how can you do that? Well, the way you can do that is you can trust in your God. See, do you trust in your God? Now, here's the thing. You're not experiencing great joy in the middle of all kinds of bad circumstances if you're worrying about it. See, you can't worry about stuff and have joy about it. You're either going to have joy or you're going to worry about it. See, I choose to be joyful. I choose not to worry. You know, it's just not really in my DNA. Now, I know some of my relatives might worry, but I know I have God's DNA, not just my natural DNA, but I do take from my grandfather, you know, and one of my favorite stories that he tells is when they were standing on the porch, it was my grandfather, my grandmother, and my dad, my Aunt Pat, they were young, and my grandmother looked at my grandfather and says, Kenneth, I think if me and both kids fell dead right here on the porch, you wouldn't even worry about it. His answer was, of course not. You're already dead. What am I going to do now? I mean, why worry about it now? You died. So, I mean, you know, there's nothing to worry about when you know your God. Now, I said, you say, well, you're saying I'm not a Christian? No, I'm saying you don't know who you are in Christ if you're worried about stuff. You don't know his power if you're worried about stuff. I mean, you know, now sometimes people don't worry about bad situations. They get mad about it. Have you ever get really mad about a situation? Something happened and you're like, man, that makes me mad. And I understand, you know, naturally you might think that for a second, but you know what? Then you have to understand, you know what? I'm going to choose to have joy in spite of that situation. You say, well, yeah, but I missed out on an opportunity to make money or an opportunity for what? You know what? The thing about it is, if you missed out because someone stole an opportunity from you, God has another opportunity that's better than that one. You know, maybe you're trying to, I know right now the housing market's crazy. Maybe you're trying to buy a house and before you put an offer in, somebody already put an offer in and got the house. And you're like, man, I wanted that. You know what? But God has something better for you. Don't get mad about something. Get glad. That's actually a commercial. Not for James, but for Glad trash bags. All right, you know, we can be happy. You know, I always joke, and I've said it, you know, a couple of times here before. There has been times when I literally start clapping my hands for no reason. Because I learned in children's church, when you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. So there's been times when I've had an opportunity not to have great joy that I just start clapping my hands because you know what? Because it makes me laugh every time. Every time I've been in that situation where I start to get mad or angry or worried, I just start clapping my hands. And then the funniest part about it is people are like, what are you doing? You're clapping for no reason. Usually you clap because, you know, someone did something good. You know, they someone was singing and it was really good, or, you know, you had a great play or something like that. You're watching, you know, like you're watching the Super Bowl coming up this weekend and someone makes a great play, then you clap your hands, you know. But, the, you know, I just remember Children's Church. When you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. The next thing he says, when you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet, you know. So, you know, I just do. But it's interesting. It says, see it. See, it doesn't say it will be. It says, when you're facing nothing but difficulty, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. You know what? You know, when you know your God, you can have the greatest joy that you can ever have. It's interesting part about it. Now, the Voice translation says this: don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them if you embrace them. You know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I know people get upset, you know, think, well, you know, well, this world's falling apart. Well, that's what the Bible tells us. It's going to get worse and worse. The Bible tells us that the things of this world is going to fall apart. But you know what? You know, we know who we are in Christ. We know that God will take care of us if we ask him. See, the next part, going back to the New Living Translation, verse number 3 says this: for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I'm going to read the passage on that one. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. So you know what? I know we have a book out there that says, don't quit, your faith will see you through. See, you're not going to fail if you don't quit. You don't quit. Now see, you have the power to endure for a season. You know, this is only temporal. It's just like, you know, there are times whenever, if you ever played sports or ever ran, I ran track a little bit when I was younger. I don't know why in the world, but mainly I run the relays, but I didn't mind shorter distances, but whenever I was, the 440 relay or 400 meters now, one time around the track, I could do that pretty well, but we had one where you had to run two laps, or everybody ran 800 meters, you know, so what is the 1600 or something like that? I don't think, do they even run that anymore? I don't think they run that race anymore. But the thing about it is, one lap was okay. One and a half laps were okay with me. But that second half lap, I had to run with endurance. I mean, I always, that was, you know, I don't know why the coach made me run that race, because that was just farther than I wanted to run. A couple times I had to run the mile thing, and I don't, four laps, that's too much, okay? No, I mean, I know if you're, I mean, four laps at a good clip is too much. I mean, that's, the fastest mile I ever did was 5.56. So below a 6-minute mile, that was pretty good. I would be good to do an 8-minute mile right now. But you know what, whenever you're facing that endurance time, you just grit your teeth and keep going. Now, the thing about it is, when it comes to with God, you know what? I know I'm going to make it. So my endurance is pretty easy. It's just, I'm just here letting God show up. You know, and sometimes you have to have patience, because I know we like to have the instantaneous stuff, but it always happened that way. Now, when Jesus cursed the fig tree was still alive after he cursed it. Now, the next day, it wasn't alive anymore. Now, your next day might be a year later. But I tell you what, I mean, I had a situation where where I believe God for a new car. I like to say on the Price is Right, a new car. Anyway, it took 9 months, you know, and during that 9 months time, I didn't, you know, it felt like maybe it wasn't going to happen or whatever at some point in time. But 9 months is a very short time in the midst of a lifetime. I mean, do you realize that, well, I guess now it's been like 5 years ago was my 30th reunion from high school. I can barely remember high school anymore. I mean, sometimes, you know, we think that it was a long time. It took a while. Do you know, in the grand scheme of things, if something takes a year to come to pass, that's not that long. I mean, you know, it just seems, I mean, well, I can't believe we're already in February of 2022. And we've already had a month click off, you know, and we're in the ninth day of the second month. I mean, before you know it, it's going to be July. I mean, you know, it is interesting. It seems when you're younger, time takes longer. But as you get older, man, it just flies by. You know, but the thing about it is, whenever you know your God, whenever you know, I can have joy in the middle of my endurance. Because I'm telling you, when I was running track, I didn't really have a whole lot of joy. But you know what? There was a lot of joy whenever we finished and we placed and got medals. And that's where the joy came from. You know, and because I know the outcome, I can have joy while it's running. Even though it might seem like it's not going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. See, that's why, you know, I just be patient. And that's what the Bible says. Hey, just be happy and be patient. Well, Craig, is this ever going to end? I mean, everything's like going crazy. It'll be okay. God is with you. God is with you. I mean, you know, but here's the thing. Once you learn to endure one time, once you learn how to do that, then you got it. That's why you want nothing anymore, because you know how to believe God. See, that's your faith in action. I mean, you're believing God and you're seeing it through. You know, and sometimes the hardest part is keep believing whenever things don't seem like they're going to work out the way you want them to work out. You know, but that's whenever you have to believe. The Bible says only believe. You know what? There's nothing about after only believe, except believe. You know, or you go with the scripture about our armor. It says, having done all to stand, we stand. Well, what are you doing? You're standing there waiting. It's gonna come to pass. You know what? But I'm gonna have joy while I'm waiting. I'm not gonna be angry and upset while I'm waiting for something to come to pass, because I know my God. I know it's come to pass. That's where my faith is. Faith is an unquestioning belief. So I'm never gonna question whether it's gonna happen or not. I know it's happening. And you know what? One time, if you endure it one time, it's a lot easier. The next time's easier. The next time is easier. And it gets easier and easier and easier. The voice translation says this: you'll ultimately find joy in them. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And the true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and to cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. You know what? Crossing the finish line is where you really have extremely great joy. But you know what? Faith is having something. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Faith is having something before you see it in the natural. My grandfather always said, you know what? The time to rejoice is whenever you ask for it. I mean, you should, in my own words, pretend you have it when you ask for it, because you have it by faith. It's just that simple. No, I mean, you know, I know that whatever I ask God for, he will give it to me. Now, here in James, it's interesting. Verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. This is from the New Living Translation. Ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. he will not rebuke you for asking. Now, I like that because it says our generous God. We serve a God that's generous, that wants to give us stuff. I mean, you know, if our earthly father is generous, how much more is our heavenly father generous? I mean, I know that if my dad, you know, has the wherewithal, that he'll give me anything that I ask for. You know, within reason. I mean, if I ask him for a jet airplane, he might not be giving me that. I'm just saying, but if he has the wherewithal. You know, but my God will give me anything. And here's the thing. This is why I wrote the book, Don't Be Stupid. There's a lot of us like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. The Bible says, if you don't have wisdom, if you don't know what to do, ask me. And I'm not going to rebuke you for it, but I'm a generous God, and I'm going to give you wisdom. Now, I learned this a long time ago. Mom taught us this. Whenever we were in school, you know, if we knew we were going to have a test, first of all, you have to study for the test, all right? That means you have to put the knowledge on the inside. But we would always pray, you know, Lord, we thank you today that you're going to bring that knowledge to me again as I take my test. And some people, you know, here's the thing. I've heard people, maybe you've said this before, and if you did, it's a bad confession, that I'm a bad test taker. In fact, I mean, I knew a girl that was really, really smart, one of the smartest girls in my high school, but when it came to test time, she was a bad test taker, especially if it was a time test, you know, because she didn't really work well under pressure. Well, first of all, don't ever confess you're bad at anything. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You're not bad at anything because you know what? He's the one who's given us the strength. But it says if we don't have wisdom, you know, there are some times in life that we don't know what to do. We don't have wisdom and knowledge on what to do. Well, ask him. No duh. I mean, how hard is it? Just ask God. Ask God. And he'll give it to you. You know, I mean, God might make me smart. No, he says he is going to make you smart. Because you ask him for wisdom. Now, going to the Passion Translation, it says this, if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. You know, maybe we failed in life, and you know what? It doesn't matter what you've done in life, because you know what? We've all messed up. We've all come short of the glory of God. I've done it, you've done it, and if you say you haven't, you're a liar. I mean, we've all messed up. But the thing is it doesn't matter how much you messed up, God loves you so much. You know what? I mean, I know there's certain people that have told me, said, well, you know what? I never asked God for stuff because I felt that I wasn't a good enough Christian. Because I haven't been maybe even going to church, or I haven't been reading my Bible. But the reason that God's not blessing you is because you've never asked him. See, the thing is, if you need wisdom, you have to ask him, and he's going to give you wisdom. He's not going to make fun of you for needing wisdom. Like, you're stupid. You should have figured that out. See, if you ever talk to my sister, and don't ask her these kind of things because she'll tell the truth. We had this conversation the other day. I'm very good at math. In fact, it is interesting. I took Algebra 2 in high school, and you know, this is not probably legal anymore. But my Algebra 2 teacher, what she did was every test, we would reseat after every test. And the lowest grades were over on that side. And the highest grades, so it would go, you know, the A row. You know, maybe there's more people. You'll start with 99, 100, 99, 98, you know, all these. And then it would go on. The people at the F side that sit over here. And so if you walk in the room, you would know who's the best students. So I'm pretty sure probably today somebody would complain about that. But you know what? When I went to school, nobody cared. You know, it's like, You're an idiot. Sit over there. All right. So anyway, in fact, for Algebra 2, for the whole year, my grade, my average grade was 98 for the whole year. 98. I actually missed a couple of problems, so it was 98. You know, it wasn't perfect. I know you think I'm perfect. It wasn't perfect. I did miss a few problems. 98 for the whole year. So I was very good in math. And so obviously, my sister was not that good in math. All right. And so I would try to help her sometimes. And I did the same thing with my oldest son. I did better with my other kids were better in math. So my oldest son, Cameron, he wasn't good. It's the same thing would happen. In fact, you know. So I couldn't figure out why she couldn't understand. Same with Cameron. Why can't you understand? This is so easy. An idiot could understand this. I mean, it's kind of like 2 + 2 = 4. It's the same thing, but there's X's there and Y's and Z's, and it's not that hard. Why can't you do this? Because, you know, I would try to help her, and she was like, not understand. I'm like, you know, I'm pulling my hair out. You know, I'm not a good tutor, okay? Wasn't a good teacher. And you can ask her. I called her stupid, I don't know how many times. Yes, I did. Probably on a daily basis. And the bad thing about it is nobody else could help her with her math because, you know, my dad can't do math. And it's been a long time since it's been a long time. My mom, you know, she didn't. So I was the only one who could help her. And so she was pretty helpless because I was bad at helping her. But the point is I kind of made fun of her. I kind of told her she was stupid. But God's not like that. All right? God's not going to tell us we're stupid. Like, you know, there is no stupid question. God's patient with us and said, you know what? It'll be okay. I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to lead you through this. I'm going to guide you, you know, because there are going to be times you don't know what to do. And you can ask our generous God, and our God will help us. He won't call us names. He won't call us stupid. You know, he won't make fun of us. But he says, you know what? I'm glad you ask. I'm glad you asked. And you know what? And thank you for asking. I mean, you know, that's all he does. And in fact, I read it a lot over in John. John, the chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14 from the New Living says this. It says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So you know what? Not only can we ask for wisdom, we can ask for anything and he's going to do it for us. So you know what? If you don't know what to do, if you lack wisdom, ask for wisdom. If you're something else, if you lack finances, ask for finances. If you lack whatever you lack. I mean, you know, maybe you tend to have an anger problem. Well, ask God to help you with that. Maybe you have some, you know, ask God to help you because you know what? He will if you'll ask him. You have not because you ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. I got to finish this really fast. So going back to James chapter 1, verse number 2 through 8, it says this, but when you ask him, be sure that, this is New Living once again, be sure, I said, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. My faith is in God alone. See, my faith isn't in any other man, any other preacher. It's in God alone. All right? Do not waver, for a person with the vital loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So what does that mean? Don't have what I call teeter-totter faith. What is teeter-totter faith? That means, you know, one day you're in faith, the next day you're not in faith. You're back and forth. You know what? Faith is unquestioning belief. So, you know, I always believe that we're standing on something. We should have a scripture. Unfortunately, a lot of people are standing on James 1:7. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. Well, I don't mean to stand on that one, but that's where you're at, because you're back and forth. You're back and forth. You know what? Trust God and trust God alone. If God can't do it, nobody else can. So put your faith in him and he will bring it to pass. It's just that simple. Be happy. Put your faith in God. If you're not very smart, ask for wisdom. It's really easy. All right. The Passion says it this way: but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as the wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to. That's not the Passion translation. There we go. See, it lied to me. It said it was on here, but anyway. Going back, verse 6, just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? See what? There are so many Christians that are going back and forth and back and forth. You talk to them one day, you know, it seems like, man, nothing ever works out for me. Talk to them the next day, I'm believing. They're back and forth, and they're on a teeter-totter. And that's why, you know what? We got to get off a teeter-totter. We either believe or we don't believe. It's just that simple. All right, we're almost done, so I'm gonna read the voice real fast right here. Verse 6, it says, the key is that your request be anchored by your single-minded commitment to God. Those who depend on their own judgment are like those that are lost on the sea, carried away by any wave or picked up by any wind. Those adrift on their own wisdom shouldn't assume the Lord will rescue them or bring them anything. The splinter of divided loyalty shatters your compass and leaves you dizzy and confused. You know what? The thing about it is that you have to have the single-minded that I'm going to trust God, because a lot of people are not trusting God. They're trying to help God in the middle of their storm instead of just, you know what? I'm going to have joy in the middle of my storm. And you know what? God's going to lead me and guide me. And if I don't know what to do, I'm going to ask God for wisdom every time. And he's going to give it to me every time, because he's so generous and he loves me so much. And it doesn't matter what I've done in the past. It doesn't matter, you know, that I failed in the past, because God has grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love. You know what? But he's saying, hey, just ask me. I'm here to help. You know, if I was God, I would get mad at a bunch of us. I mean, I'm just that simple. I know he's up there going, hey, dude, I can see you. I can see that you're in need. And all you got, I can't do anything unless you ask me. You understand? He can't help you unless you ask him, because you have your own free will. And the reason I know that is because you can't get saved unless you ask. You know that? I mean, anyone understand that God doesn't make you saved? You have to ask him for your salvation, because you have your own free will. And God's not going to make you have anything. Like my grandfather said, he's not going to make you pay your tithes. I don't pay tithes. I give tithes, because you know what? Paying sounds like it's a bill. Giving, you know, is something I do free will. You know what? And God's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to make, but all he wants you to ask him. He's like, please ask, please ask, please, 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 please. He's sitting up there looking at you thinking, are you ever going to ask? Are you ever going to ask? I mean, you're over there suffering and complaining, and you're sure not having any joy. And I'm up here with wisdom and knowledge and grace and mercy, and all this stuff. And all you got to do is ask him, and I'll give it all to you. It's just that simple. But, you know, when we ask in faith, just believing. You know what? We serve a good God. I know sometimes we say that, but we really do. A generous God, a God that's more than enough, a God that's exceedingly abundant, more than we can ask or think. And if we don't ask, we're not going to have it. And so, you know what? Moral of the story is, Be happy in the middle of trials. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Just be happy. If you don't know how to be happy, just sing the song. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. And I guarantee you, it'll make you happy. All right? And if you feel like you're dumb, ask for wisdom. All right, don't ask me to help you with math. I actually won't call you stupid. I'll just pray for you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for each and every person in this room. We thank you, Father, that to help each and every one of us, not only in this room, but watching online, to understand, you know what, that our God loves us so much, that our God just wants to see us blessed. And we thank you, Father, that each and every time that we're facing obstacles and circumstances that really, we don't even know how we got here, that we can have joy in the middle of our storm. We can be happy when no one else is. And we thank you, Father, that you're always there to help us in every situation, every time. And all we have to do is ask. And Father, we just thank you that you'll help us all to have a strong faith, just believing in you and trusting in you and knowing it's going to be okay and we can endure everything and it'll just be awesome. Father, we just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up.